Welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast, where business leaders come to share their advice and journeys to success with existing and emerging leaders of America. Join us as we delve into the minds of these accomplished individuals, uncovering the strategies and insights that have propelled them to the top. Whether you're an established leader or an emerging force in the business world, this podcast is your go-to source for the knowledge and inspiration needed to navigate the dynamic landscape of American business. Now, here's your host, Dylan Bloyd.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're excited to host Chad Burmeister, founder and CEO of BDR.AI, a visionary in leveraging AI for sales success. Chad's expertise and experience offers a unique perspective on the intersection of technology and sales. With Chad's track record of propelling BDR.AI from 0 to 1 million annual recurring revenue in under 12 months, his insights into AI-driven sales are invaluable. Join us as we explore Chad's innovative strategies, the future of AI in sales, and actionable advice for aspiring entrepreneurs and sales professionals. Welcome to the show, Chad.
Man, thanks for having me, Dylan. I love talking about AI and love using it. You know, for the last 7 years before AI was cool, I was kind of breaking the rules and testing it out way back then. So it's nice to finally be where we are today.
Right. No, that's great. I appreciate you joining the show. I'm excited for this conversation. So if you could please give us a brief intro on yourself and how you got to where you are today.
Well, you know, I knew I was a salesperson when I was 7 years old. I would take the bus to school in the morning and my mom would take me to Costco or whatever version we had back then. Right. I bought a gross of suckers, which was 144 suckers. We probably paid $5 to $6.
Yeah.
And then I would sell them to kids for 25 cents on the bus. So, you know, it's nice when you lean into your God-given talent in life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and just continually pour into that. So that's where it all started. Since then, I went to Colorado State University with a degree in marketing. Then I graduated from Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles with a degree in computer information sciences. It's funny, when I look in the mirror, I don't feel like a super smart, quote unquote, smart person, like a, you know, highly educated, trained person. And yet I did get a 4.0 in computer information science. So It's just wild how, you know, how life happens. And then you look back and you say, I'm 5 books in. I've led teams of 100 salespeople. And you just have to pinch yourself sometimes and say, I'm just happy to be here talking to you today.
Right. Yeah. I think you're being a little modest. A very, very smart individual. So can you walk us through some specific features or functionalities of BDR and how it leverages AI to automate and optimize sales outreach?
Yeah, so, you know, 7 years ago, I was introduced to the idea of using LinkedIn as a prospecting tool, probably 15 years ago, really, where it was, you know, Coca Sexton was kind of one of the grandfathers of using LinkedIn for prospecting. And I remember sitting in a room and he said, hey, within a few years, everyone in this room will use LinkedIn for prospecting. How many people measure? And I was like, nobody. There were 0 people who raised their hand and measured how much pipeline came from LinkedIn. Wow. So about 7-8 years ago, I was introduced to LinkedIn sequencing. How do you connect properly? What do you say once they connect? How do you do, I call it give, ask. Mm. So most people connect on LinkedIn and then they try to ask you something, you know, hey, can I get 15 minutes to pitch you my product? Mm-hmm. That, man, I get 20 of those a day and I say no to all 20.
Yeah.
So you better be giving something of value. So that's what we've done for 7 years. It still requires a human in the loop. The tool that I'm most excited about right now, we've signed over 1,000 customers. And when I say we, I partner with very good tech companies who create something and then I help them go to market. So I didn't write the code for this, but it's Facebook AI. I call it Facebook AI Prospector. Mm-hmm. You go, you join a group on Facebook and there might be 10,000 members or 100,000 members. And then you have ChatGPT running in the background through either 3.5 or 4.0. Mm-hmm. And you just feed it some prompts, right? If I get asked this question, then here's the answer. If I get asked, how much does your product cost? We'd teach the AI how to sell them the product.
Gotcha.
So, you know, 7 years ago, I thought I was really brilliant by creating a sequencing methodology for LinkedIn outreach that gets a 42% reply rate. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm at the bleeding edge of using a Facebook AI that actually has sales conversations with people and can sell entry-level products without me being there.
Wow. That's that is great. I think that's a big point of that is, you know, when you are reaching out to people, it always seems like that, huh? It's somebody connects with you and it's just, you know, thanks for connecting. And the second you respond, that's when all of a sudden it's, oh, by the way, I have all this for you, you know, and it just drives you nuts. So that is extremely cool that the AI can kind of take care of that for you and have those conversations. And what did you said, 42% response rate?
On the LinkedIn side, 42% response, because we've gotten it so well honed, you know. I'll meet with the CEO and say, tell me your product. And I'll go look at it all. I'll read it. I'll put it into ChatGPT and say, hey, shorten this to one sentence. What's the unique value proposition? All those kinds of things. And then by the time we're done, yeah, we're seeing 42% average reply. Wow. The highest is about 80%. The lowest might be zero. If you go against my guidance and don't do give, get, ask, then you're probably going to hit the buzzsaw and not get the results that
right.
I can get.
Yeah. I mean, without that technique, what do you think? What would you say the response rate is? Under 10%?
Yeah. Well, so email, if you look back, I went to a conference last year, AAISP. They've changed their name since I went to their last one. Mm-hmm. But the head of strategy from one of these email companies said they did 300 million plus or minus emails in a year. And they had a 3.8% average reply to the emails. But this was the kicker. Of the 3.8% reply, 90% said, take me off your list and never email me again. So it's great to tout a 3.8% response rate, but it's real to say that 90% of those were duds and take me off your list.
Right.
When you're doing LinkedIn outreach, there's really not an opt-out button. You can say, I don't know the person. And then, you know, there's certain things you can do. But as long as you're doing a give, give, ask, 40% becomes regular. You could get as low as 5 or 10% response if you simply take your email templates that you've used for 10 years, copy and paste and put them in a LinkedIn outreach, you're going to get the same crappy results that you're getting in email.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Or I've seen a little more success from reaching out is I've connected with people and, you know, waited a little while, you know, instead of just immediately when you connect, you automatically know something's going to come. And it's anyone who has a lot of connections or anybody who's been on LinkedIn for a while know that it's just going to be some kind of sales pitch, right?
Yeah. Well, that's why when I'm working with the CEO, especially, or a VP or a director, you know, hey, we need it to look like you're busy. Because if you connect with someone and an hour later, you program the AI to instantly send your calendar link, then they're going to call bullshit on that.
Yes.
Sorry for my listeners, they're going to call BS on that, right? They're not going to, they're going to say, this was automated. I don't want to be talked to by an automation. So I coach people, let's wait, let's in 3 hours, let's maybe like one of their posts. In another day or two, let's follow their profile. 3 days later, let's go send them the follow-up message. So you can still use automation, but don't be like everybody else. You have to be different. You have to be unique. That's why I'm wearing my hat wired differently today.
Right.
Be wired differently than everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So part of that, part of BDR, you can actually program it to like posts and everything as well, right? It's not just responding in messages. It's also connecting with them and liking their content, all that, right?
You can like, you can follow, you can view their profile. There's about four different action buttons that you can use.
Okay.
And then what's also nice is if they don't connect with you on LinkedIn, so let's say 40% connect. Well, if you're only using LinkedIn, then 60% will go by the wayside. Currently, we'll go in and we'll do a data append, and then we might send them an email. Hey, I've been trying to reach you. Here's why I'm trying to reach you. Would you like to be a guest on the AI for Sales podcast? So that might come through an email. Where I'm excited, imagine the tree that says, okay, if they don't respond to email, then let's use a webhook to punch out to one of these AI dialers to call them. Hey, you and I connected on LinkedIn, but I haven't heard back from you yet. Imagine you got a phone call from Chad's AI. We're connected on LinkedIn. I sent you three things. I'd like to invite you to be a guest on my podcast. there's certain laws around what you can and can't do. Are they opt-in? So I think a lot of that stuff still needs to play out. But I envision a day where when somebody downloads a white paper, within 5 or 10 minutes, they're not getting a call from you or I. Mm-hmm. They're getting a call from the AI, and it's a pleasant conversation because maybe male, female, dialect, pace, tone, the kinds of questions. You can program the AI to talk how the buyer wants to be talked to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're in for some good surprises over the next 5 years.
Yeah, it still blows my mind of the amount of man hours it's taking away now. You know, we don't have to do every single one of those cold call and have to be through those terrible discussions. You know, AI is taking care of so many things for us, emails, and that is really cool to see how this could play out. And I agree, I'm excited for it as well. So as the CEO, you grew the company from $0 to $1 million ARR in under 12 months. What were key challenges you faced in growing BDR, and how did you overcome them?
So one thing I've heard over and over and over again, so I'm glad it's not just me, is the problem of a co-founder. And I don't want to, I'm not going to say anything bad about this person. I won't use their name. I'll just say that a lot of times when people go into a business with another human being, there's different expectations of what the outcomes are. So about 4 months in, my business partner at the time, you know, we were growing so fast, $337,000 in the first quarter.
Jeez.
And he was like, all right, I'm the co-founder. I have the title. And I just got I think he got an MBA, if I'm not mistaken, in project management. So there was a COO that was on board that I hired, and he had far more experience. And this other person, the co-founder, had far little experience.
Mm.
And he was bossing around the COO saying, hey, have you followed up with this person, and micromanaging the COO? And I was like, hey, dude, you can't do that. Like, this guy, he knows what he's doing. He should be your boss. There's leading and there's managing.
Yes.
And I'm like, you just let's keep focusing on the job you're hired to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a challenge. How do you peel out of that? How do you not get yourself into it in the future? If you're starting a business, talk to an expert. You know, my friend Alice Hyman is on our board. She can tell you, don't just give out like 50% of the shares to partner A and 50% to B. Someone has to be the arm wrestle winner.
Right.
So somebody needs 51.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, full stop. And then you can also do an earnout. So, hey, we're both going to start with 10% shares. And somebody's the CEO, so somebody gets to make the decision and be the chief guesser. But we're gonna have 10% shares that are on a vest. So we're going to do them as options. So at any time, at a year in, maybe partner B wants to eject themselves. Maybe they need to be ejected because they're just not doing the job. But you've got to build the model and the structure right in the beginning, so that you don't find yourself in those tug of wars. You lose friends. It's just not a good environment where talk to someone like Alice and she'll help you do it.
Right. Yeah, no, I've actually heard that quite a bit. Anybody who is kind of co-founded, when they go into it 50-50, at some point there's a decision to be made where you're just disagreeing on everything and you cannot make a decision. So that makes perfect sense for any of the listeners who are starting their business. Make sure that you have a majority owner, right?
Have an escape route, right? Yeah. You've got to have that kind of well-defined that says, hey, if we're co-partners here and we both believe in each other, that we both bring the same level of value, then great. But if at some point we aren't, and one person maybe goes and gets a full-time job and one's working 24/7,
right,
there's so many things that can happen that you don't foresee. At least have in it that says, if that happens, then you'll get guaranteed, you know, based on the valuation of the company, you can be bought out for X dollars. Like, mm-hmm. Pre-negotiate all of that. It's almost like a prenup. I'm not a fan of prenups, but in business, I think every business should probably have a prenup.
I agree with you there. That's pretty funny. So as someone who has consistently been recognized as a top inside sales professional, you know, with over 25 plus years of experience, what do you believe are some key attributes or strategies that contribute to sales success?
One of the secret sauces I've had for 25 plus years is the ability to listen and then follow up.
Mm.
So I'll listen intently, understand kind of where the person's coming from, what are their needs, what are their gaps. And honestly, maybe I'm only rated an A minus in discovery skills or ability to be convincing or whatever. There's certain areas where my bucket may be a little lower, but where I'm an A plus is that I take very detailed notes and then I send a summary. Here's what I heard you say, A, B, C, and as much as you can put it in their words, then all you have to say is, hey, that's exactly why BDR exists. We can help you do that. I learned that from Skip Miller, rest his soul. He passed away about a month ago. He was a big mentor of mine. And he would always say, Chad, if you just ask the right questions, and then at the end, all you have to say, yes, we can do that.
Right.
That's a much easier sell than let me show you feature A, then B, then C. Start with their outcomes in mind, recap it in an email note. And most people don't do that. Mm-hmm. That's been my biggest secret sauce. Now, there's AI tools that will listen to the conversation, send out the summary. So part of my secret sauce may be going away to AI, but
right.
Even then, use the AI, right?
Yeah. But the fact that you can build that into it with all your years of experience, you know, that makes it that much better, right? All the experts are kind of putting it into this AI and delivering the message that you probably would have pitched yourself. And then continuously
evolving,
of course.
That's how I would have done it. But now, right. Now everybody can use it by using the plugin to their Zoom meetings, which is kind of neat.
Yeah. No, that's what I think is just so cool about this business. Looking onto your website and seeing how you guys kind of, when you put that video together, talking about coming from sales professionals, and they're the ones that are kind of putting this together. I've spoken with a lot of business owners and people talking about AI, and a lot of them all kind of come to that same assumption or, you know, conclusion, is that it's all these AI different programs is really the experts are putting all the information into it. And then it kind of develops a better AI system, you know, it's, and really kind of like niche markets all around.
Yeah. I just met with someone a little while ago, the CEO of Swarm, and it's called The Swarm. And his name is David Connors. He's been at it for 2 years, 8 months. So two and a half years.
Yeah.
And they plug in the network of your entire company and then help you understand, like, let's figure out which companies in my geo do I have relationships with, investors, other employees. It'll help you stack rank who you should be calling based on your network. And I'd never heard that before. I mean, most companies say, well, you want to get a meeting with this person, go through these other people. This one says, which companies should you work on? So imagine you're the... You create the territories at a business. Why give the bottom 70%? Let's go say, hey, let's figure out where Chad has the best relationships, build a relationship graph and say, okay, Chad, we're going to do pure relationship selling. This is your territory. You own these 50 accounts because you have a lot of people who know people at those accounts. Those are some of the tools and techniques that AI can deliver by smart people. So it's just such an exciting time to be in the world.
It really is. And that kind of led me to the next question I wanted to ask you, because everything's evolving so fast. So what role do you see AI playing in the future of sales, and how do you anticipate it to continue to evolve?
I look at it as an assistant. Human to human conversations are still important from a trust building perspective.
Okay.
So, you know, I've said it for 7 years. I have a picture of the Iron Man suit outside my room. So when I walk in my bedroom at night, it's sitting right there.
Nice.
And it just reminds you that, hey, this is just a suit. Like, you're still the person underneath the suit. And so it's important that we build trust. We become better at having human-to-human connections. AI helps you become more efficient, do your emails. So many things. Every aspect of your life will be touched by AI. So what are you doing to improve yourself? Whether you're a faithful person, right? Maybe you want to have a better relationship with God. Okay. Go use the free time that you now have to read the Bible for 15 minutes a day that you couldn't do before because you're too busy.
Yes.
Maybe that's not your path. That's okay. Maybe you want to go join a ski club and go skiing once a week. I mean, it just focus on the things that you can now do as a result of AI. So that's very exciting. I also think it's an equalizer. So I think of like the pay gap of men and women, you know, and Lori Richardson's a friend of mine, and she's been talking about, she wrote a book called She Sells, and she's been talking about this gap for years. And, you know, there's things that cause that gap, but imagine now anyone can have access to someone or something that's 10,000 times smarter than the average person. Learn how to leverage the AI. And I think it just, it levels out the pay gap from people who grow up in different parts of town, men, women gap, different cultures, different places on earth. And I'm excited about that. You know, I've always been one to back the underdog. And so I think AI is just the great equalizer that's going to be really neat for a lot of people.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think that anytime there's change, you know, people are going to be resistant to it, right? But I think this is, as multiple people have talked about, it's coming. There's no stopping it. It's just how do you utilize it and use it to your benefit? And if you can be more productive in work and your daily life, like you said, why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? Why wouldn't you want to be excited about that?
I've heard people say on my podcast that say, you won't be replaced by AI. You'll be replaced with someone who knows how to use AI. Because there's still human in the loop required. Now, if you're doing cold calls and you're making 50 dials a day and you're just navigating gatekeepers and switchboards, that job may be at risk. If you're just doing email blasts to 10,000 people and responding to emails, okay, that job may be at risk. But there's always something new that requires human in the loop, right? The Facebook AI that we're doing, that's so new. Like, who do I point it to? Do I go to groups? Maybe I come at it from this way, that way. Like, always, the human always needs to be creating. And I think AI can start to be kind of part of the execution back end of the menial tasks that you really shouldn't be spending your time on anyway.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. With all the background you have in sales, how do you approach the balance between automation and personalization in sales outreach?
It's interesting. When I first came on the scene with an email that could read your LinkedIn profile and personalize the first sentence, I actually challenged one of the leaders of one of the big sales enablement companies. And I said, all right, put your rep, your best VDR, in a room with my AI, and let's see who can write 100 personalized emails in 1 hour, and then we'll track the open rates and the reply rates. And this person said, Chad, none of my BDRs can write 100 personalized emails in an hour. That's about a 2-day effort. I said, okay, I'll give them 8 hours and we'll have my AI BDR. How about my guy does 400 messages in 1 hour and we'll have two of your best people 8 hours, and then we'll track the open rates and the reply rates. Would that be fair? And they were like, you're not making any sense. You're going to outsource everybody's jobs. How can you do this? This is terrible. This is the worst thing that you could ever do. And one person who I really have huge respect for, and I think she's almost retired at this point, but she said, Chad, you're going to need to pay tax on the bot. So if you'd normally pay $70,000 a year for a person to write 20 personalized emails a day, and your bot can do 400 in an hour, then you're going to have to pay 20 reps time. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You want me to pay taxes on $1 million worth of effort that's done by a bot that costs $97 a month?
Yeah.
And so there's just when disruption happens, people have a real hard time getting their arms around it. And that's what I love to see about Gen AI, you know? So do you mean I need to go pay taxes because now an AI can actually draw a picture with a dove on it and a phrase that takes me 10 seconds through DALL-E?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to pay taxes on that as if I paid a team of creators to go build it. This is just the new world we're living in. Embrace it or your company's probably not going to be around very long.
Right. Yep. I think every company needs to embrace it because why wouldn't you want to? I mean, so my realm is distribution, manufacturing. A lot of the time as a supervisor, as a manager, you need to be out on the floor. You know, you need to spend a lot of time on the floor. If you're constantly having to go back to your office to send that same repetitive email over and over again, I mean, that wastes so much time, you know, and it's so easy to implement now. And so, but still some people are just, nope, we're not doing it yet. And it's like, okay, well, it's coming at some point, you know.
It's coming. And that's the good news is that whether you're using Gmail or Outlook or you know, you name it, it's coming soon to an application near you. So virtually anything that you use, you'll just see this little new button one day and you go, oh, what's that? Yeah. Oh, that's it. Got it. Yeah, that's hugely valuable.
Right. Yeah, that's handy.
I would write an email to somebody if I could tell them that the weather's, you know, I hope, like the best one that I loved with this company called Nova.ai that was 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. It said, I hope you're staying warm in Toronto today because it looks like you're at minus 10. Like, do I really need to go look that up?
Right.
No, it's just being human and the AI enables me to be more human. Mm-hmm. So that's the bottom line.
Right. No, you're definitely right about that. Well, Chad, I do appreciate this. This has been great. So how can people learn more about BDR.ai as well as your podcast? We talked a little bit about it, but the AI sales podcast.
Yeah. So BDR.ai, that's the website. A lot of videos there, some best practices. If they want to learn more about LinkedIn messaging, give, ask that I told you about, mm-hmm. You can buy a book on Amazon. In fact, I think I have it sitting on my desk. It's called LinkedIn Mastering B2B Lead Generation.
Nice.
And I helped SalesStar write this book, and it really gives a lot of the secrets away for what's the best connection message, what are examples of gives, those kinds of things. So check out LinkedIn SalesStar Mastering B2B Lead Generation. But yeah, you can reach me, BDR.ai, and the AI for Sales podcast is available on all the major podcast channels.
Awesome. All right. I'll make sure to have those in the show notes as well, make it a little bit easier on the listeners.
Excellent.
All right. So I did have one more question before we go, Chad. What advice do you have for aspiring entrepreneurs or sales professionals looking to make an impact in their respective industries? And what mindset or strategies have been most valuable to you in your own journey?
The thing that I'm learning at 7 years of running BDRAI is know your numbers, know the math. And you've heard most people trade time for money. The way you can avoid trading time for money is understand what's the value of it is that you're trying to provide. So I'm working with Patriot Mobile right now on a Facebook campaign. We're seeing about 10 opportunities a day. Those might turn into three to five deals where they actually change mobile provider. That's worth X dollars. So if you can understand the outcomes of what they're trying to solve, and then you understand the costs, and then understand, so the product's $197 a month. Well, if they're getting $10,000 a month for $197, the math works good. Well, with $197, you got to know what your costs are to deliver that $197 product, mm-hmm. right? What are my COGS? How much resource needs is requirement? I think entrepreneurialism, if I could go back and do it all over, I'd spend more time to learn the math. Mm. And then I'd say, okay, do more of this, $197 with a $50 cost, and less of that, $2,000 with a $1,900 cost, right? I want to be able to scale things that are valuable where I know my COGS, I know my resource requirements. That's how you scale a business effectively. And that's what I would say to any aspiring salespeople and entrepreneurs. Learn about entrepreneurialism. It's a lot of fun.